Well, it would be a great help to me if you could turn back in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. There's a quite a famous saying, really, that's a bit macabre, but pardon me for telling you, you probably know it, or you probably heard it once or twice. It goes a bit like this. You never hear a man on his deathbed saying, "I wish I'd spent more time in the office." It's just not one of those things that they will ever say, is it? And I reckon the reason why that is because by that point, you realize what's important. And when you're on your deathbed, and you want to pass on to people the things that you want to say, you choose your words carefully. You choose your words very carefully, and all that you can muster and all that you say is the most important and the most meaningful things that you want to tell your loved ones who will be near you if you're in that situation. And though Joshua is not on his deathbed, the same force, the same importance comes through in this last chapter, because Joshua knows this is the last time he will address the people. And so you know what he's going to say will be important. It will be important for those people to hear, and it's important for us to hear. So let's hear what he has to say. First thing he wants to say to us is this. He says, "Look what God has done for you." Just look what God has done for you. God has been gracious to you, Joshua says. And then at that point, God literally takes over and he makes his appeal to us. Joshua relays his message in verses 2 to 13. And what is striking for me is just look how many times God mentions himself in these passages. He says, "I called Abraham to myself when he was worshipping foreign gods, when he didn't know me, when he was busy living a life that would lead to oblivion. I rescued him. And in my mercy," God says, "I gave him children when he thought he was past it. And I directed Jacob down to Egypt, sending Moses and Aaron in due time to bring you Israelites out of slavery. And when your life was in danger," God says, "it was I who protected you. I who destroyed those who would destroy you. I was the one who sustained you in the desert. Even though there were thousands and thousands of you, I fed you and kept you and I led you on. I gave you victory over those who would attack you, and I protected you by my mighty power against spiritual forces and against physical forces. And I fulfilled all that I had promised by bringing you into this land, and against the overwhelming armies of people, I drove them out before you. And I gave you this inheritance, a blessing that you now enjoy." And that's what he says, isn't it? That's what verse 13 says. "So I gave you a land," says God, "on which you did not toil, and cities that you did not build. And you live in them and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." And Joshua says, look at all that God has done for you. It's all about him. He's done everything for you. He has done everything and chosen you as his people. And you know the strangest thing is that God's nature, well, it hasn't changed. Because he has done the same things for us, even greater, hasn't he? We don't have to imagine that we are an Israelite standing, listening to Joshua. Because if you are a Christian, then you know that this is God's story to you. God has been gracious to you. In His grace, He chose you to be in Jesus. He chose you to be forgiven, to be brought back to Him, all your sins paid. And God has shown you His power. He showed it in raising Jesus Christ from the dead, never to die again. And that power is at work in you. That's the power that makes you change and want to become more and more like Jesus. That's the power that will keep you from eternal death. That's the power that will raise you up from when you have died to live on this earth again forever. And God will give to you His promise, not of a land, not of a simple country, but of the whole earth, and you will live with Him on earth forever, with no sickness, with no illness, with no disease, with no more death, just joy with the Lord and perfect fellowship with those whom He has raised. And you might want to ask yourself, well, why is it that God would do this? Why would God do this for me? And the answer comes back so obvious. Because He is gracious. Because He is kind. Because He's compassionate. Because He is merciful. Because that is the very nature of God. This is your God who is good to you. This is the very gospel. It's all about God. Look what He's done for you. So what is your response? What is our response to this wonderful, glorious, amazing God? Well, it's that we're to serve Him, isn't it? That we're to live our lives for Him, to turn our hearts to Him because of what He's done. And that's just what Joshua urges his people to do in a response from verse 14 right the way through to verse 23. He says, choose today whom you will serve. Verse 14 says, now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers' worship beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. You know that word serving? That word serving, it's right the way through this chapter. It's about labor. It's about energy. It's about effort. Yes, that's what serving's about. And there's a choice that has to be made. Because if you choose to serve the Lord, then it has implications. You cannot serve God as well as other gods. And God asks for you to serve Him exclusively. And is that such an unreasonable thing to ask? When you think of all that He has done for you? But Joshua says in verse 15, well, let's read it. Verse 15, but if serving the Lord seems unreasonable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served from beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Choose, says Joshua. You know, this world that's all around us, this world that we live in, everybody in the world serves other gods. Everybody serves a god of some kind. Right now, the flavors in our society are the god of materialism, the god of sex, the god of self. And these things, they're not wrongs in themselves, they're good things. But when we serve them, when we choose to serve them, when we choose to give ourselves to them, when we choose to put our time and our effort and our energies and our monies into them, well, then they turn from being good things to being God things. We start to worship them. We start to serve them. But if you are a Christian, you know that you don't belong to this world anymore. You belong to Jesus Christ. You are God's. He has rescued you. He protects you. He gives you an inheritance in Jesus Christ. So the life that we used to live, the life of serving self, serving gods of sex or materialism, we don't live those lives anymore. Because those lives lead to death. Let me say that again. That kind of a life leads to death. Paul in Ephesians, in the next chapter, after the one that I read, said, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who is disobedient. All of us used to live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." So Joshua says, choose today. He says, if you don't want to serve God, then choose which of these false gods are you going to worship? Which of these false gods are you going to follow? Choose which of these paths to death do you want to choose? Which one? And it's a bit of a silly statement in one sense, isn't it? It's a bit like I watched a comedy sketch once where a man went to the vicar for tea, and the vicar gave him a cup of tea, and then he said, "So what do you want? Cake or death?" And you're supposed to go, "What? Of course that's a silly choice." And that's Joshua's point. It's silly to choose. It's more than silly. It's detrimental for us to choose any false god to worship, to give that our time and our energy and our efforts. But you know what? That's exactly what we do. Isn't it? We all do. So choose God first and only. Choose Him and throw away these gods in your life. Joshua's statement is this: "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And then we get the response of the people. The people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Verse 17, "It was the Lord God, who himself brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed these great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the peoples, all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all these nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." And it sounds so wonderful, doesn't it? It sounds so, you know, forthright. That's exactly what they should say. And Joshua's reply is so very striking. "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive you, and he will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster upon you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." Why does Joshua reply to what seems like such a great commitment, such a great promise to follow? Because Joshua is saying to them, listen, choose carefully. Don't just lightly mouth off some profession of faith. Don't you realize the God whom you are talking to? He is a holy God and a jealous God. He won't go on accepting you worshipping him and other gods. We can't just think that today we will serve God and tomorrow, well, we'll serve any other god. No, God will punish you because God requires total commitment from us. And you know, Jesus says exactly the same thing. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, it's page 738 in the Church Blue Bibles. Here's Jesus, and he's at the height of popularity in his ministry. And there are large crowds all following him. Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. And it says this: large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Now, I know that most of us will know this, but let me just clarify. Let me just at least say this. Jesus is not saying that we should hate our parents or our loved ones. He is merely saying that our love and our commitment to him must be so great that it dwarfs even the love and commitment that we have to our nearest and dearest. Do you get it? And he says, choose very carefully, think very carefully, if this is what you want to do. Because this is what God requires of you. And if you are like me, you might start thinking to yourself, "But Lord, I just can't do it. I really can't. I know that you're right. I know it's right for me to give myself totally to you because of your love, because of your grace, because of your power, because of your inheritance. But I'm a selfish person. I'm just self-centered. I can't seem to help myself." If you find yourself like that, like I find myself, guess what? You're in the territory of Romans 7. And the best thing about Romans 7 is after it comes Romans 8. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then tonight go home and read Romans 7 and read Romans 8. Because in Romans 8, God tells you that because of his Spirit in you, he will give you the very thing that you asked for. He will give you the power to obey him, to put to death the sins of your body, to put to death your self-centered nature. So if you ask, how can we do this? The answer is through God's Spirit. That's how. So you are to choose him. You are to choose very carefully. And thirdly, look at this. When the Israelites know what's going to happen, when the Israelites simply say, "No, we are going to follow the Lord. Not please, Lord, strengthen us. Not please, God, by your Spirit, help us." But say, "No, no, we are." Joshua says in verse 23, "Now then, throw away your foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Choose with your whole heart." See, friends, we've come really to the heart of the issue. And as they say, the heart of the issue really is the issue of our hearts. We have to turn our hearts to our Lord Jesus. We have to trust that he loves us so much and that he's done everything for us. And so we must love him back with our hearts. We have to give to him our energies, our time, our aspirations, all of our lives to use his way. And it will mean changing our mindset from a heart that chases after all sorts of things, or things that God says are foreign gods, to instead chasing after what Jesus wants. And if that sounds challenging to you, if like me, you start thinking, but what about me? What about the things that I want? Guess what? That's your foreign god of self raising its head. And the truth is that you have to trust the love that God has for you. Trust what He has done for you. Trust Him when He says, love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your might. You know, ironically, the very best thing that we can do for ourselves is to deny ourselves and to follow God. And when we do, there will be changes seen in us. We will behave differently. There are implications. This is not just about our hearts and thinking to ourselves, okay, I must try better. When we do, there will be all kinds of changes in us. You've seen that, and you'll see more of it. You know, turning our hearts to the Lord and serving Him only, well, it doesn't mean that we will all become pastors or that we'll all become church paid workers, but it does mean that we will all serve God in whatever job or whatever place we are. It means we will serve Him for His glory in that. And let's just think about that for a moment. That will mean for some people that the way you do your job will be different. For some people, it will mean you will actually have to work harder because you want to serve and glorify God. And for some people, it will actually mean that you'll have to work less because you won't chase after the God of promotion and you won't chase after the God of ambition. No, you will be serving the Lord God. And for some of us who maybe we're about to choose our career paths, it will have implications for you too. Because you will want to serve God with the very natural talents that He has given you. Rather than you choosing to have a career in something that will give you what you think will be financial security. Or what you think might be really, really exciting. Or what you think might be the thing that will give you the most influence over people. No, actually you say, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to serve You with what You have given me. There will be implications when we choose to serve Him. Joshua's last word to us is this. At least it was to the Israelites. He says to them, be faithful to your God. Be faithful to Him. Look at verse 25 to verse 28. When the Israelites promised that they would serve the Lord, it says in verse 25, on that day Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he drew up for them decrees and laws. He literally told them, okay, if you want to serve the Lord, this is what it means. And he did this at Shechem, the very place that God appeared to Abraham some 450 years ago and said, promised him, that He would make him plentiful, that He would give him His offspring that land. And here was God fulfilling that promise in the very place He had promised to Abraham. Here were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Israelites, literally all the descendants of Abraham. See, God always keeps His promises. That is one of the themes of, that is the message of Joshua. God will be faithful to His promises. The only question is, will we be faithful to Him? The Israelites would have come back to Shechem year after year. And each time, they would have seen that stone that he erected. And that and they would have realized what that stone really symbolized. It was a stone that reminds them that God spoke to them on that day. And it would have reminded them that they had chosen freely to serve God, throwing away all other gods. So they had to be faithful to their promise. That was the point of that stone. And you know, we don't have a stone today, but we have the very word of God, the Bible, and it is a constant witness to us that God has been gracious to us. That God has been merciful and he has sustained us and he protects us and he gives us an inheritance in Jesus Christ. God has been faithful to us, so we too must be faithful to him. So turn your heart back to God if you have not been faithful to him. That's the point. The message of this chapter really is, which God will you serve? Which God will you serve? And the prayer that I have for every single one of us is that our answer, well, it will be what is said in verse 23. That we will put away our foreign gods and we will turn our hearts to the Lord.